Welcome back to today's Front Page. We're joined now by Jamie Fipke. He is the president of the Kentucky Trucking Association.
But to kind of start with the first point, and this is, as I said, came from Ohio, that they're dealing with a truck driver shortage there, and I think they estimated maybe about 30,000, as a matter of fact. Are conditions here in Kentucky very similar to that?
Yeah, it is similar. And a lot of that in the over-the-road part of the job. But we're seeing a little bit more of that happening on the localized level, too, which is unusual. Usually the local private fleets, guys get home every night. We really haven't had that issue in that segment of the industry. But we're starting to see creep even into that area. So it's definitely an issue.
Why do you think this is happening?
I think you got a lot of different factors occurring. One, regulations. The trucking used to be not as regulated as it is today, and it was attractive to folks to kind of be on their own and operate their truck, have a sense of freedom on the road. It was more. I don't know that was more glamorized back then, but they were considered knights of the road back then. And things have just changed. Regulations limit what they're able to do, so they don't have the freedom they used to have. I think it's a tough job from a lifestyle perspective, especially on over the road. You're out. You can be out 3 to 4 weeks at a time. I think the industry's changing. In terms of our length of haul is shrinking and shrinking considerably. So, maybe 10 years ago it was 600 miles was our average length of haul. Now it's probably down to 450. I think that part's changing. But there's all sorts of opportunities for anybody that has a CDL.
Are there any particular regulations that you see out there that are particularly troublesome?
I don't know that troublesome is a good word. I think I think there are regulations that are impacting this number. One is hours of service, electronic logs. Our drivers are a little older, so transitioning them into technology and the use of technology is a challenge. It's also that having that e-log in electronic log into the cab of the truck, and it's Big Brother's looking out on me. So that, that's a hurdle that we've had to get over. Then you have what we call CSA, which is a scoring system. So it used to be a driver never had to, when they got a violation, the carrier would always look at it, but it really didn't hurt that carrier from a insurance or legal perspective that had that driver in educating and training. Now it's a little different. Everything's out for public view. And so when that driver has a violation, everybody can see it. So we're very safety conscious. And so when a driver has violations that are that predict future crashes, companies aren't as willing to take that driver. So good example is we have probably about 145,000 CDL holders in the state, right? But how many of them are qualified today with all the regulations and with CSA? And that's where we're running into the issue, finding the qualified driver. And then you got drug and alcohol that we're starting a clearinghouse there. So anybody that has fails a drug screen in the future, will not be able to bounce around. So basically they're going to either have to go through rehab or they're probably not going to be able to find a job with the clearinghouse. So those are all factors leading into, and age is another one. And we got an older group.
When we talked about the shortage, is there a particular number? I know, I think I mentioned the number in Ohio, but is there a particular number we're short right now in Kentucky?
I couldn't give you a number. I don't think anybody can give you a localized number. That's a national number. Our national association has issued that number. I think it was 34,000. And they predict in about 5 years that could be over 200,000. And what you're going to see in the what you're seeing in transportation is all the forecasting is that freight volume is going to go up. It's not going down. We're going to need more drivers than we currently have today. And so you take out all the guys that might be leaving because they don't want to deal with e-logs. They don't want to deal with congestion, right? Congestion's a big issue for us. And so add that in and then add in freight increasing, then you're going to have a shortage.
What's the solution in your mind, Jamie? How do you get more people going into trucking?
You know, we're actually in the process of going through that through the association. And I think our response is going to be we're going to have to work with our different universities, community colleges, and we're going to have to really educate people on trucking and on the pay in trucking is better than what people think. I think the lifestyle is going to improve over the next several years, and we're going to have to do a better job of touching the younger kids and educating them on transportation, not just truck driving per se. Obviously, that's the shortage, but we have a shortage of mechanics too. We can't find enough mechanics, safety directors, dispatchers, people that understand transportation. So that's what we're focused on is working with community colleges and creating pilot programs to bring people into the industry.
One thing I've read, and I've seen in several places, is that generally the guys who are out there driving these big rigs make a pretty good buck.
They do, and that's only going to improve. You're already seeing pay increase quite significantly on the over-the-road and even on local because everybody understands that if you're a quality driver, a safe driver, you're going to be able to find a job. And there's no driver out there that if he's qualified and he has a good safety record, that can't find a job tomorrow. And he could, you know, a kid coming out of a CDL school could make anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 just depending where he went. What we want to try to do is make sure we place them with Kentucky carriers and keep them home. A lot of times when they graduate from these schools, they go out of state because those are the type of carriers that hire that are able to hire those type of drivers.
You talked about getting involved with community colleges and universities. Do you also go out there maybe and start to advertise and tell people, hey, you know, this is a pretty good life. You know, kind of work for yourself in a lot of ways. You make a pretty good paycheck. You know, this is something you ought to consider going into.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're on the – we haven't had to do this as an industry. We haven't had to go out and really try to recruit the younger generation and to recruit people into our industry. We've always had enough drivers. We're seeing the writing on the wall, and we're going to have to get engaged, and we're going to have to get a path to get people into our industry. We deliver over 80% of the freight to communities. So if we don't address it, it's an economic problem for the state. We're not as attractive from a manufacturing standpoint. People aren't getting their freight, getting their packages on time. And we know how that everything's just in time now. I mean, it's not just the factories that have just in time freight. It's me and you. We want our package tomorrow or tonight. You know, that's just the way the supply chain is moving. It's moving quickly.
It's interesting because I've heard this before, and when you talk about trades-type professions and more blue-collar jobs, you hear it all the time now from people. We have jobs. We need people.
Yeah, we hear that. We're not the only ones. Absolutely. And that's the other challenge is we're going to be competing against manufacturers, advanced manufacturing. Everybody's having a hard time finding the trade. And I don't know why that is, other than it may be a generational thing. But from an educational standpoint, I think we've promoted the four-year degree so much that we've lost sight of the trade. And I think not everybody's made for a four-year school. So if we can get them a good job, a safe job, I think we have a great outlet for a certain segment of the population.
It kind of comes back to something that and you mentioned this, that they talk about getting a college education. That's the key to getting a job. But at the same time, you hear also, well, you know, we're a service-based economy now. It's not about manufacturing anymore. And I guess it gives people that impression, perhaps, that maybe there aren't any blue-collar or trades-type jobs out there.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the problem. And I agree. I think that's the national perspective. It is a service. And I would agree. It's more of a service-type economy, but manufacturing is still the foundation. You take away auto from the state of Kentucky, what do you have? I mean, that's of all the freight that we're moving, 49% of it's in automotive. Coal, think of coal and how big that is to the state. Now that's basically gone away. Well, think of the ripple effect on the railroads, because coal was king for them. So now what are they going to move? Because they're very specific in in a supply chain, what they have to offer service-wise is bulk material. That's where they really are competitive and do a great job. But you take coal out of that mix, now what are they going to do? Trucking the same way. You know, in our world, what we see is everything shrinking, so we're getting closer to the end user. How do you tighten that supply chain out? And that's where I think we're going to have to. It's going to be a very attractive job, because you're not going to be out 3 weeks at a time anymore. You're going to be able to find a job where you're home. Plus, two times or three times a week instead of just one time. Or you might be able to get home every night. There's a lot of jobs out there that they're home every night.
Once again, that was Jamie Fipke, the president of the Kentucky Trucking Association. I'm Chuck Meraz on Front Page. We'll see you next time.